And now, the preaching from God's Word. I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the fourth book in the New Testament. That is the Gospel of John in the first chapter. I'm continuing my sermon series entitled 12 Ordinary Men, taking my cue from John MacArthur's book of the same title, where he does a profile of each of the 12 disciples. And what is so encouraging to me about these 12 disciples is that they were ordinary. They were common, everyday folks, just like you and me. They had their faults, they had their foibles, just like each one of us. But God can work through each one of our situations, our personalities, our failures and our successes to accomplish great things in His kingdom. And today we come to the second of those disciples, that is Andrew. He is the brother of Simon Peter, whom we talked about last Sunday. And we read a lot about Andrew over here in the Gospel of John. And I have entitled today's message, Andrew the Model Disciple. That is because he exemplifies the process that every Christian should go through to become a fully devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. First Baptist Church Noonan's purpose statement sums that up in four words: come, connect, grow, go. Those are the exact stages of development that Andrew went through on his journey with Christ. Beginning with that first step in your notes, come. We read about how Andrew came to Christ in John 1, beginning in verse 35. If you have your Bible open there, would you give me a loud, hearty amen? Amen. Then you read silently as I read aloud. It says again, the next day, John. Now don't confuse this John with the human author of this gospel, John. This is John the Baptist. And so the next day, John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples. Now, John had his own group of disciples, followers of him. And the two disciples who are unnamed here are John, the human author of this gospel, and Andrew, both of whom would become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 36. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he, John the Baptist, said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples, that's Andrew and John, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And look at this statement in verse 39. He said to them, "Come and see." If you want to have a relationship with me, Jesus is saying, you must first of all choose to come. That's why we here at First Baptist Church invite the people of our community, our county, our region, and our world to come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That is the first step. And that invitation is offered by God over and over and over again in the Bible, beginning in the book of Genesis, when Noah built his ark because of the great flood that would come and cover the entire earth. And when the ark was completed, the book of Genesis tells us that a voice came from inside the ark to Noah and his family, and it was simply this: come. What a gracious invitation to Noah and his family. Come into the ark of safety. The flood waters are rising. The storm surge will come. 20-foot waves will come. Winds and rain will batter the boat, but you will be safe because you have come for safety and security inside the ark. And it doesn't show this in Russell Crowe's film, But God was the one who shut the door. God was the one that sealed them in and secured them. And my friend, if you by faith on this Sunday morning will come to Christ, He will make you safe and secure. He will save you from the devastation and the floods that are to come, and He will keep you safe because He's the one that secures us. This is what Andrew did. When Jesus invited him, he came. Now, the name Andrew is a very interesting name. From the original language, it means manly. And Andrew lived up to that masculine name. Before he followed Jesus, he was in the fishing business with his brother Simon Peter. And there's lots of heavy lifting associated with that particular industry. He had to be a mountain of a man like Simon Peter was. Also, prior to following Christ, as I've already indicated, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was no run-of-the-mill preacher. His pulpit was out in the wilderness of Judea. He had a very rough and Spartan existence. The Bible tells us that his clothing was camel's hair and a leather belt, and that his diet consisted of locust and wild honey. This is where Andrew lived. This is where Andrew came from. This is the hard lifestyle that he emerged from to come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man's man. He was a mountain of a man. And God is still calling real men to follow him. Baptist Press News recently ran a study that they had conducted. Brian Hausman, when he was here doing our Tech Savvy Parenting Workshop, quoted this study. It's a very interesting study. If a child becomes a Christian, the chance of that child's parents and siblings coming to know Christ also is 3.5%. The Baptist Press News also said that if the mother and the wife is the first one to come to Christ in the family, there is a 35% likelihood that the rest of the family will come to Christ. But where the study becomes very amazing is when it comes to dad and to the husband. If a man in a family will come to Christ, this study says that the likelihood of the rest of the family coming to Christ is 93%. Gentlemen, God is still calling real men to come and follow Him. And whether you be man, woman, boy, or girl, if you hear Jesus in this service this morning calling you to Himself, I encourage you with everything that is in me to respond to Him in faith and say yes to Him and start following Him. You say, you mean if I hear it as an audible voice in my ears? No, it's much louder than that. He speaks to your heart, and your heart become stirred to the point that you realize you need to come to the one who said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, track this model disciple's progress through the stages of development with me. We left off reading there in the first part of verse 39, where Jesus invited him to come and to see. We see that the next step that Andrew takes is to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see this. Reading all of verse 39 in its context, he, Jesus, said to them, Andrew and John, come and see. And they came. It took faith to leave the group of disciples they were with under John the Baptist and everything that was familiar to them, including Andrew's fishing occupation, but he came. But he did more than that. He came and saw where he, Jesus, was staying and remained with him. Maybe your Bible says he stayed with him or he abode with him. The idea here is that he had very close fellowship and connection with Christ. One that would continue for the next 3 years, where he would go everywhere Christ went, where he would eat every meal with Christ, where he would lay down and spend the night every place that Christ spent the night. It was a lifelong connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is calling many of you to come and to connect with him today. It's very interesting that some people will come to Christ, but they never connect. We have people that will walk down these aisles and will join the life of this church. They'll shake my hand. They'll fill out the membership card. Some of them even get baptized, and their name goes on the roll of our church, but they never connect with Christ. You know, my assistant Brenda Turner just finished our annual church profile this last Thursday, and she gave it to me to proofread before I left the office Thursday afternoon. And I noticed that our current membership at First Baptist Church is 1,954. After this morning's service, the early service, we had a young couple join us. They have three beautiful preschool children, Jamie and Nancy Griffin, walked the aisle, joined the life of our church. So now we have 1,956 members, almost 2,000 members. But the FBI couldn't find a third of them. Why? Because they never connected. They came, they got their name on the roll, but they never had, here's a key word, meaningful membership. They never connected with the life of this church. And I want to tell you, the way you do that is by connecting with Christ's body, which is this church. You might have been a guest in this church for months and for years, but you've never made the connection with this local body of believers. And it could be this very day that God is saying to you, okay, you've come to me by faith, you're a Christian. How about connecting with my body, the church, and having meaningful membership with the rest of the people here in this church? A practical way that you can do that is by coming to Sunday school. We have some of the most fantastic Sunday school classes and Bible studies here at First Baptist Church. And I encourage you, whether you're a member or not, to connect with one of those Sunday school classes. Our staff this last spring contacted all of our Sunday school classes or some of their ministry teams that they work with, and they asked them to set goals for the coming Sunday school year. This was last spring, actually last winter. And so around February, all of our Sunday school classes said, this is going to be our goal for average attendance and enrollment in the coming Sunday school year, which begins this month, September. And for people coming to know Christ as Savior through the ministry of our Sunday school class. And for us having this many prospective members on file. The reason I asked our staff to do this with our individual Sunday school classes is I could set a goal for our entire church. And people say, that's great. Jimmy's got a goal, but you're not invested in it. You're not held accountable for it. So I said to our staff, we're going to do a bottom-up goal setting so that the classes set the goals. Therefore, they're invested in it, and they are accountable for those goals and those ministry action plans to reach those goals. You might be sitting out in this building today, and you have not connected with our church. Our Sunday school classes, beginning this month, are implementing action plans for someone just like you, so you can get in on the ground floor of making lifelong friendships. So vitally important. You will not make it without those kinds of connections in your Christian life. And so Andrew, he came to Christ by faith. He followed him. He connected with him by staying with him, by abiding with him, by remaining with him. But more than that, if you would notice how Andrew grew in John chapter 6. By the time John chapter 6 happens, Andrew has been with the Lord in many different situations, and he has seen how the Lord operates. And so he has been able to grow in his understanding of how the Lord meets needs and addresses issues. And that's what happened to Andrew here in John chapter 6, is the Lord is about to give him a very important object lesson to grow his faith. John 6 tells us about the day that Jesus was out teaching, and the Bible says a multitude followed him. And it was time for a meal, and the people were hungry. And so the disciples, you know, wondered what Jesus was going to do about it. And Jesus says, well, you go and you buy food for them. And the disciples said, Lord, we've been to Publix and the bread shelves are empty and the water shelves are empty. And it's the wrong time of day to be going and doing this. And then the mathematician of the group, Philip, said, it's going to take 200 denarii to feed this multitude, and they'll only have a little bit. It won't even fill them, just for them to have a little bit. That was a man's average salary back in Bible days. It's going to take an entire year's salary and wages to feed this multitude one little meal that won't even satiate them. But Andrew had been with the Lord in enough situations to know that if he found the resources and put them in the Lord's hand, as limited as those resources might be, that God would do something with it in a miraculous way. He had learned, he had grown to the point that he knew that little is much in the Master's hand. And so that's when he found a little lad with his small lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And by the way, those fish were sardines. And so Andrew said, Lord, here's the multitude and here's the resource. And what did Jesus do? He took it and he multiplied it so that there was food left over. And the Bible says that everyone was filled. In Bible days, for a Judean to go to bed full was a rare thing. Most people in Judea went to bed at night still aching from hunger. But Jesus provided more than what they needed. And in that instance, Andrew grew in his knowledge of the Lord. He grew in grace and knowledge, and that's exactly what God wants to do with you. You might be facing a very difficult situation this morning. I can just imagine on every pew in this sanctuary, there are people that have circumstances that are troubling them. It might be a financial situation. And if you will just trust God today, you will be amazed how God will grow you in grace and in knowledge. Be like Andrew. Come to Christ. Connect with him and his church, and then grow in grace and knowledge. But that's not where this process with Andrew ended. You're going to have to go back to John chapter 1, where we left off reading there, to see how Andrew went to and through the fourth and final step, and that was to go. We left off reading there in John chapter 1, verse 40. So pick up with me there in verse 41. It says, he, that's speaking of Andrew. You see, he's already come to Christ. He's already connected with Christ. It says, he, in verse 41, first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Andrew was not content with just coming and being in the presence of Christ and connecting with him in close fellowship and growing in grace and knowledge, but he knew that the first order of business for him was to also go and find someone he knew to introduce them to Christ. And who did he go to? He went to his own flesh and blood brother, Simon Peter. Some of us sitting in this building have family members that are lost. They're the hardest ones to witness to, aren't they? Because they know us the best. They know all our hypocrisies. They know all our inconsistencies. They know all our failures. Andrew had all those things. But out of love and concern for his brother, he went to him and said, we found the Messiah. Come follow him. Maybe you have a family member you need to go to. Maybe it's a fellow student. Maybe it's a classmate. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone in your neighborhood. Maybe it's a friend that you need to come and invite to go to Christ. I pray that you will. It's what Christianity is all about. When you look at the first invitation, it's for us to come to Christ, but the last stage is for us to go. We come to Christ so that we can go to a lost and a dying world. And that's what Andrew did. You know, Billy Graham, the great evangelist now in his 90s, close to 100 years old, used to conduct citywide evangelistic crusades, and in his build-up to that, he would take local churches and he would encourage them to do what he called Operation Andrew. You can imagine what Operation Andrew is. It is for believers in those local churches to go to their brothers, to go to their sisters, their fathers, their mothers, to go to their children, to go to their family and work associates, and invite them to come to Christ. Andrew followed Jesus all the way to the cross. It's very interesting. The Bible doesn't tell us this, but church history does. That Andrew, after the Lord was ascended, spent some time in Ephesus, and then he went to modern-day Russia. Did you know that? Andrew went to modern-day Russia, following this stage of development to go. He went to a distant and a dark place to share the gospel. And he was so effective there that to this day he is known as the patron saint of Russia. Can you believe that? From Russia, Andrew went to Scotland. He did the same thing in Scotland as he did in Russia. He led countless people to the Lord. And like in Russia today, Andrew is the patron saint of Scotland. Andrew ended up in modern day Greece. And there he led the Roman governor's wife to the Lord. This so infuriated the Roman governor that he ordered Andrew to be crucified. And so the date was set and the cross was affixed. You've heard me describe how Jesus was crucified on an upright cross like the one that we have behind the screen in our baptistry. But when Simon Peter, Andrew's brother, was crucified and they were approaching an upright cross, Simon Peter said, "No, I'm not worthy to suffer and die in the same way my Lord did." Turn the cross upside down. And Peter, Andrew's brother, was crucified upside down. Andrew's cross was different from Christ's and from his brother Peter's. It was not upright. It was not upside down. But the Roman governor decided to turn it on its side so that it formed an X. That's why St. Andrew's cross looks like an X. And the reason the Roman governor did that was because they knew that it would prolong the suffering of Andrew. In fact, Andrew hung on that cross for 2 days. And as he suffered on that cross, he witnessed to every passerby that came by him, imploring them to come to Christ by faith. Andrew's faith led him to come, to connect, to grow, and to go all the way to the cross. And that, my friend, is the process for discipleship in a fully devoted follower of Christ. You know, we're coming to the time where decisions have to be made. I'm going to be standing down here at the front. And there are some of you in this building that have never come to Christ by faith. All you have to do is just take a step of faith toward Christ. And he'll meet you in that aisle today. And you'll become a part of his family. And in joining the life of this church, you'll be connected with his body and with this body of believers. And then God's going to take you on the journey of growing in grace and knowledge. None of us ever arrive. We're lifelong students of the Lord. And if you're so high and mighty that you think you've learned everything, you need to go back to school, and the first lesson you need to learn is humility. None of us ever arrive. Some of us need to make that commitment to grow today. And then some of us here today, we've come to Christ, we're saved. We've connected with his church, the body of Christ. We are growing in Christ's likeness. But God now is calling you to go to that lost classmate, to that lost family member, to that one who has never trusted Christ in your work, in your business, in your neighborhood, in your friendships. Where are you on this continuum of fully devoted discipleship? I think every one of us know at which one of these four stages we are. And I invite you today to put one foot in front of another and go to the next stage as we bow our heads together. Oh, dear Father, how we want to thank you today for Jesus. We thank you that he gives our lives meaning and purpose. We thank you that he is our Savior, is now inviting those who are lost to come to him by faith. Father, for those who have already made life's most important decision of coming to you by faith, we pray now that they will connect with you into meaningful membership in your body, the church. Father, we pray that all of us would be on that life journey of growing in grace and knowledge. And God, even now, you're putting on our hearts and in our minds people that we know who need to be introduced to you. Help us, Lord. Give us the grace and the courage to go to them. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.